Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Nothing can stop me. I'm all
the way. Fly ball to left field for Mancini. And this one is going to break the shutout. Trey Mancini with his second home run of the series.
You know, we think it's the right move at the right time. We'd like to make a couple more moves. We'll see what happens.
Vasquez drives this one to center. To the wall. And God, Vasquez goes deep for the second time in his many trips.
We're gonna continue to work. I think it'll be a long night and early morning. We have a few more irons in the fire. We have a few more things that we're trying to chase down, but we're not done by any means.
The pitch. Swing and a miss. That's your ball game. Will Smith nails it down for Drew Smyly. Well, Killer Bees are basically James Click. He was very active yesterday once we got off and had to make all these moves. But James Click making 3 trades yesterday after the program, all in about a 7-hour span. The first one, of course, trade for Trey. We talked it into his existence.
We did.
Trey Mancini is a Houston Astro. Click wasn't done there. He saw Christian Vasquez taking BP. He liked the cut of his cloth. Said, you know what? I want that guy to take BP for us. So he trades for Christian Vasquez. And then he has his little post, actually during the game, media availability, says we're not done. And then trades Jake Odorizzi. And people thought we were crazy with the notion of trade Jake Odorizzi. Why in the world would you trade Jake Odorizzi? And then the Astros get their left-handed loogie specialist, who's been really not very good, in Will Smith for the Atlanta Braves. But a busy and active August 1st, and we'll see if the Astros are still working on something
today. I liked all of it. If you're an Astros fan, unless Not Santa, who changed his name on Twitter today to Not Fair, because he's really that upset that Jake Odorizzi was traded. And I believe if you listen to Late Hits this week, Creighton will tell you where the memorial will be in honor of Jake Odorizzi. But that will be at a later date when a sponsor to be announced. Other than those two guys, I don't know how you can't be extremely pleased if you're an Astros fan, because this is exactly what you wanted out of James Click. This is what we were all waiting to see out of James Click. This is what I kept saying. Look, I don't care when, but before the deadline hits, I started saying this even in spring training. It didn't have to be at the start of the season, but he had to do something to improve this team at a certain point because it was too good not to. He did the things he needed to do, and I don't think he's done. But I believe that the moves that he made yesterday and the way that he did it and the fact that he didn't have to give up the kind of prospects that we were thinking were going to have to be involved to get the kind of players that we thought were good for this team, thumbs up to James Click on a job well done. I thought he did what he had to do. He improved the team in many areas, and even addition by subtraction, get the whiny baby out of here in Odorizzi, get a left-handed reliever that maybe he finds it, maybe he doesn't, but he has World Series and playoff experience. And he's better than what you had somewhere in your bullpen.
Yeah. We don't have to listen to this painful song anymore. Actually, no. we should probably bust it out whenever he's pitching for Atlanta, if we're being completely honest. Because we're going to be paying attention to the Cleveland Browns this year because of Deshaun Watson and because the Texans have the Browns first rounder. We should be following the rest of the season and the 2022 plight of one Jake Odorizzi. I liked every single one of these trades. Click didn't give up a whole lot. I understand that there's a couple of prospects here that you like them. They got some talent. They have some skills. They have a chance at some point to be big leaguers. They also have a chance not to be big leaguers. Like, you did all of this with no Hunter Brown, no Pedro Leon, none of your top 10 prospects, which is a job well done for James Click. You're going to have to give to get. And James Click didn't give from his top 10 prospects of a depleted farm system to get back 3 major league worthy players that have a chance of helping this team. So job well done from that aspect, protecting and preserving the minor league system while also adding pieces that are going to help in 2022. Trey Mancini. And we've been saying trade for Trey since late June, if we're being honest with you. I got the receipts and I retweeted them yesterday. The reason that Trey Mancini is exciting to me, his offensive numbers aren't great at Camden Yards. Camden Yards is one of the hardest ballparks to put up offensive numbers in all of Major League Baseball. Look at the ballpark factors. They're bottom 5 in Major League Baseball. If you think that a dude that hits at Coors Field is going to have success because of the park factors of Coors Field, it also works in the reverse for Trey Mancini at Camden Yards. It is a massive ballpark that is not conducive to hitters, especially right-handed hitters that Trey Mancini is. We can nerd stat you to death with the baseball savants and the ball flight of Trey Mancini that will play into Minute Maid Park. He is a good offensive player, and he has the position flexibility. He doesn't do anything great defensively, but he's a warm body in left. He's a warm body in right. He's a warm body at first. That's a plus offensive bat. And you did it by trading Jose Siri in a fringe prospect. So that one, to me, is a steal for James Click.
Here's the thing. When you look at what he did, he gave you an insurance policy, if nothing else, across the board. He gave you an insurance policy if Michael Brantley doesn't play the rest of the year, or even if he plays, he can only swing a bat and can't play the field. And it's better than the options you've been platooning in the outfield. It's a better, more solid opportunity offensively, no matter where you look. And if he just plays left field, Brantley wasn't an all-star left fielder defensively anyway. He can do that. He can spell Yuli at first base. He can spell Yordan at DH and give you some pop. Like you said, we've talked about it numerous times. The cavernous Camden Yards, and taking all of his numbers and transforming them into Minute Maid Park, you are going to see a power surge. You are going to see a hitter that's going to excel on that diamond. And I think that that's another big key. But he addressed issues so that you have depth that you didn't have previously, and you got better in multiple areas where this team needed to get better. And that's why I'm so excited about the moves that they made, because of all of that. And we both just said, you didn't have to give up the guys we thought were going to have to go in any kind of a significant move to get help for this team.
Mancini slam dunk home run trade. Then Christian Vasquez, while he's wearing the Red Sox uniform, taking batting practice in your home ballpark, you find out that he's being traded to the Houston Astros as well. Love this trade because, like, you give up a couple of prospects that have a chance. They're also older. They're also going to be Rule 5 eligible. You have to move into the 40-man. I like the trade in the sense that, one, it's an upgrade offensively with the bat. We'll talk about how you're going to deploy these guys a little bit later. But he's an upgrade offensively with the bat. It sends down Corey Lee to continue to work on his game. He's not quite ready. I still think he's going to be a good player, but he's not ready yet in 2022, and the only reason he was on this team is because Jason Castro is hurt. So you add a second catcher. I don't know how Dusty's going to deploy it. We'll get into our thoughts later on, like we said, but you have two big league catchers. One of them, who can control a pitching staff very well, Martin Maldonado, helps the pitching staff, is very, very much a reason why the Astros have one of the best ERAs for a pitching staff perspective in all of baseball. Then you add Christian Vasquez, who's not a slouch defensively either. In fact, he's pretty good. He's probably better than Maldonado in terms of, like, blocking balls in the dirt, throwing, I'm not going to say throwing runners out, but he's pretty good. He's pretty good at it. But he's a much better bat. So now you have a two-headed monster at catcher, and however it's deployed, that gives you a benefit as well that easily makes the Houston Astros better, because Vasquez greater than Lee, and you might even argue that Vasquez greater than Maldonado in 2022.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I think that when you look at what they did, you want options. And you have great options, because if they're both above average defensively, and Machete, I'm not going to take anybody's arm over him. I believe that what he does defensively is underrated, no matter how much he gets a lot of attention this year with what he's done with the pitching staff. And it shouldn't be, you know, thrown away as just a side note. He has done a wonders with that pitching staff. But I think that we know in playoff baseball, and the fact that there are going to be situations that come up, that the last thing you wanted to do if you were the Astros was know that, look, I can give up Maldi and put Castro in. I don't know how much better a bat Castro is, but I know how much worse he is defensively, and those are my only two options. Now they're not. Now that you can get, you can improve and you can use a guy whenever you see fit is a big advantage. And like I said, I think that Mancini, who really wants to get into a playoff series and know he's playing on a winner, and he's a great clubhouse guy, and he's a great story overall, but it's a guy that just wants to win. He's looking forward to playing for a team that's going to win. I think he's the opposite of Jake Odorizzi. He's a guy that's going to say, I don't care where you play me and what you need me to do. I'm just here to try and make this team better and to win. That's a huge bonus. So I think that with those two guys alone, you got guys that upgraded your, in multiple areas, upgraded your team and gave you more team-oriented guys too that are going to help the team wherever that Dusty sees fit. So I think that that's fantastic. There isn't anybody that looks like it's going to rock the boat. And you hope that if Vasquez and Maldi are on the same page and get along, that they can help each other out. You know, they can help each other out from learning the pitching staff. And, what you know, the big thing is getting a guy like Vasquez who plays the Yankees so often. You know that his scouting reports on what he sees from the Yankees lineup, too, when they compare notes, can only help this pitching staff get better.
I mean, he's better than Corey Lee currently in 2022. And
sure.
Corey Lee is going to get some seasoning down in the farm, too, which he very much needs.
But the Corey Lee thing, to your point, too, I think the other thing is just like we wanted to see a Hunter Brown come up late in the season, he got his feet wet. You saw what he got, but now he knows exactly what he's got to work on, and you know he's not ready yet.
And he's showed some promise. Like, yeah. he's not a big league player yet in 2022. I think that even though it was a small sample size, we are able to realize that, but did show some promise and potential. I don't think you're not giving up on him as a prospect at all. And then the final trade that came right around the end of yesterday's game, the Astros trading Jake Odorizzi for Will Smith. No, not that Will Smith. No, not the Dodger Will Smith. The guy that was pitching against you in the World Series last year, formerly the Braves closer, left-handed closer last year, has not been good this year. I look at this trade pretty simply, to be honest with you. And this is something that you've heard from the Killer Bees for the last month, and people thought we were crazy saying that you should trade Jake Odorizzi. Why would you trade Jake Odorizzi? Well, James Click told you why yesterday. You have a pitcher who is going to be, like right now, let's just assume he's still a Houston Astro. He's your number six starter right now. Lance McCullers is coming back in 2 weeks. That bumps him to your number seven starter. You still have Hunter Brown waiting in the wings. That potentially bumps Odorizzi to the number eight most valuable starting pitcher on this team. And, oh, yeah, he has the chance and the potential to carry a $7.8 million salary next year for a number eight starting pitcher when in the offseason you need to address left field, you need to address first base, potentially catcher, maybe center field, and you probably want Justin Verlander back. Why would you attach $7.8 million potentially to a number eight starting pitcher? Will Smith makes more money, almost double more money this year, so don't say that Crane and Click are penny pinchers. But a club option next year, which you're not going to pick up for the Astros. They're clearing the books next season. It is low risk, high reward. Because, look, Will Smith hasn't been very good. I understand that. But he's somebody that can get lefties out. His numbers against lefties are fine. And he has the potential to be more than that.
It's also addition by subtraction again. Because the one thing that we've talked about previously that we didn't talk about in that discussion just now is the fact that Jake Odorizzi is all about Jake Odorizzi. And he has pushed back and he has been resistant to all the things the Astros have asked him to do. He got pissy with Mark Berman when he didn't get put right back into the rotation when he declared himself healthy and was ready to go. And at a certain point, James Click sent the message too, look, if you don't want to do the things that we want you to do and be a part of this team, then we'll take a bowl of soup if we have to, just to make sure that we don't rock the boat in the clubhouse. And this team is all focused on what the main goal is, which is to win a World Series. So it also tells you some very positive things that, look, McCullers, more likely than not, is going to be somewhere into the mix, because otherwise you don't give up the depth that you gave up. And it also tells you, like I said, the fact that you're going to take a flyer on a guy that isn't as good as he's been in Smith, but more so than anything else, you got rid of a guy that could have been a real problem if he didn't make the playoff roster.
Even if he's terrible, okay, you cut him, he's not on the books next year. It's low risk, high reward for the Houston Astros. We're going to be Astros-centric today. It's trade deadline day, so if you want to join in, you can. 713-780-ESPN. Eric, we see you on the line. We'll get to you on the other side. 713-780-3776. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Julia Morales will be joining us at 2 o'clock talking about the Houston Astros and the trade deadline. Want to ask you, are the Astros done? And if so, are you happy with it? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, Doc Linville has just done wonders for me, for John Granato, for Jake Asman, for so many others, Fred Fowler. And the fact is, he could do the same thing for you, because a lot of guys, as they get older or just at any time in their life, they just realize, hey, my hair is fading fast. And my only option is going to be to shave my head. No, it's not. If you go see Doc Linville, and as a listener to ESPN 97.5, you get a deal that nobody else gets. That means you get a consultation for free where you can talk to Doc Linville and his staff and find out if the NeoGraft procedure is right for you. It normally costs $150. As an ESPN listener, it's free if you just go to 975hair.com and sign up for that free consultation. The bottom line is the NeoGraft procedure is cutting edge. It is fantastic, and most importantly, it is your own hair, just transferred to where you need it, that you don't have as much. If you've got a thinning area or a bald spot, he can fix it. He's fixed it. He asked me if I wanted my hairline back. I said, I can go from an 8 head to a 4 head? He said, absolutely. He drew a Sharpie line on my forehead the first day, and then when they did the procedure, that hairline became my new hairline, and it's still there as we speak. It's fantastic. You got a baboon's butt on the back of your head? You think you're going to have to shave it? Nope, he can fix that too. He does wonders when it comes to hair. Check him out today, 975hair.com. Sign up for that free consultation and find out all the information and see if it's right for you. It's Doc Linville at 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew...
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, everybody has some thoughts on the Houston Astro trades yesterday. I think I haven't heard any people critical of the Mancini trade or the Vasquez trade. The Odorizzi trade, some are critical about. We'll get to that in a bit. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. Are the Astros done? If they are done, you okay with it? You happy with it? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're on the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. They better not be done. Heck no, I won't be happy. If they're done, I'm done with James Flick as GM and Crane as owner. They'll be called Pete Deadbeat Thompson, like that guy in Hot Shots. They need to make a big move like they did back in the 90s to get Randy Johnson, the big unit.
Eric, you're not happy. You're not happy with pre-trade yesterday.
Yeah, how do you get better as a team and then have that attitude, Eric? You didn't get Juan Soto, and you don't have you have a depleted farm system. You don't have the prospects teams want.
You get Josh Flick at the Padres.
Yeah,
they have a great farm system. They got a great farm system.
The Padres are making big moves. You want to win like the Yankees? Act like the Yankees.
The Astros have won more than the Yankees in the last 5 years.
Yeah, one championship in 5 years and with this team.
But you're saying to act like the Yankees. You're saying if you want to be the Yankees, act like the Yankees. The Astros don't want to be a runner-up in the American League.
The Yankees have 27 World Championships.
Okay. You must be a Dallas Cowboy fan,
too. No,
he's
a big Dallas Cowboy fan.
Dallas Cowboy fan, too. It's got to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. Oh, yeah, our team's better than your team because we were successful in the previous millennium. I don't understand how you could be upset with James Click.
I can't either.
People have called James Click cheap, right? Okay, James Click, Jim Crane cheap. What have the Astros done? They traded for Will Smith, who makes double the salary of Jake Odorizzi. They added Christian Vasquez in a rental, whose average annual value is $7 million this year. So they've added $13 million, they've added $7 million, and I'd have to look up Trey Mancini. He's probably somewhere in like the 7, 8, 9 range. But he also has a mutual option next year for $10 million. So let's just say he makes 7. Mm-hmm. 7, 7, 14, plus 13. The Astros added $27 million in salary yesterday, give or take a few mil. How are the Astros cheap?
They're not. They're not cheap. They're smart, right? They're very fruit. They're wise. Can they be frugal at times? Yes. But in this case, they went out and did what they needed to do, and the money wasn't anything that was going to deter them. And based on the fact that, you know, Mancini was on my wish list very, very high, the fact that I felt like the areas that needed to be addressed, including somehow a relief pitcher that could be better than what they have towards the back of their bullpen, not the back in terms of 7, 8, 9, but the lesser used guys. I think they did that. You got a lefty in the process, which is a bonus. I just look at everything that they did, and we knew that Jason Castro was done, whether he wanted to admit it or not. His ability showed he was. And you got better there, too. You got better across the board. How can you not be okay with what James Click did? Okay at the very worst, happy at the very best.
Like, I can understand, like, the disappointment of not getting a trade done today, but to say that you're over the Astros, who have the second-best record in all of baseball, they've made 3 trades yesterday where they added significant salaries for the rest of the year. It's mind-blowing to me. I really don't understand that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A couple people were critical of the Odorizzi trade on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Rex Ryan saying, I get we need a lefty arm, but we traded a $12 million Odorizzi for $13 million Will Smith. Kinda. Flimsy says the Odo trade is a dumb trade. I had some people saying on Twitter, too, that the Odo trade's meh. What in the world were you expecting for Jake Odorizzi? You were never getting more than meh.
A little over a month ago, you were considering DFAing him. I mean, when you think about where you were and where you got to and what you got for him, that should be a gold star bonus.
And here's why it's not a dumb trade either. Okay, this team's going to the playoffs. Is it safe to say the Astros are a playoff team? Okay. Jake Odorizzi, whenever we were talking about him the other day, we were questioning if Jake Odorizzi is even going to have a roster spot in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Even a roster spot.
Because we knew
spot.
That if they said, we got a roster spot for you, but it's in the bullpen, he might push back and say no.
So potentially no roster spot in the playoffs for Jake Odorizzi. Potentially a long man who you hope it never gets into a playoff game for Jake Odorizzi. So that's what you were looking at, because the Astros are thinking long term here because they have the capability and the luxury of doing that. They know that Jake Odorizzi is not part of their playoff plans. They know Jake Odorizzi's on the hook for potentially $7.8 million next year when they have areas they need to fill in free agency. Left field, first base, potentially catcher, potentially center field. And, oh, yeah, Justin Verlander, I think, is going to want to raise. So why be on the hook for the Jake Odorizzi money? And you can get out of the Will Smith contract because it's a club option for next year, $1 million buyout, goodbye, Chris Rock, et cetera, et cetera. So it makes sense from a financial point of view. It makes sense that you're not losing anything in the postseason. And, look, I know Will Smith was lousy last year. I know Will Smith looks like he is washed. I know that Will Smith doesn't look like the same guy that he used to be. Will Smith's still pretty good against lefties. If Dusty Baker, and this is a big if, if Dusty Baker utilizes Will Smith in the proper way, maybe the law firm of Murphy and Miller can help him out.
Right.
All of a sudden, you have your lefty
Montero
specialist.
Montero was going to be DFA'd a year ago, and Montero has become what he's become. And you can't say it's just like because someone, you know, stumbled on a lucky four-leaf clover or something like that. Guys worked with him. He got better. And the thing is that he's coming from the National League. So the American League, where you need him the most, probably hasn't seen him a whole hell of a lot. They're going to try and do some research on him, too. But he might have an advantage from that perspective, too. And you're not going to use him over and over and over again. You're going to use him situationally, like you said. Mm-hmm. If Dusty uses him the right way, he's an upgrade over what you had.
And here's the other thing. Let's just assume for a second that he sucks, he's terrible, and you do not want him on the playoff roster. That's what you had in Odorizzi, and he's not on the books for 2023. This is no risk and the potential for some reward. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
You know what? Personally, I love the trade. I mean, it's not Juan Soto. It's not the big names out there, but why do we need those big names? We've been successful with the people we have. Yeah, Gurriel has been slumping. That's why we picked up a Trey. You know, Vasquez, and I think Vasquez and Machete, Maldonado, I think they're going to be great. They're going to be great together. They're going to understand their roles. And I think Will Smith, he was there at one point. And he is good. He sucked this season. But the Astros pitching staff always has some way of bringing out the best and a player, if they were good, if they were bad. And I have faith in that. I think we have another trade in the pocket. Great. If we don't, I think our moves have been substantial and they've been good.
I want to be able to speak Thanks, like Chris. I like his ability it. To say those Hispanic names the way that I would like to say those Hispanic names.
My wife can help you.
Really? She's good? I can't roll my R's. I'm a fake Mexican. Anyways, Chris... Chris brings up the point about Maldonado and Vasquez. Maldonado mentioned yesterday after the game, he told this to McTaggart, that he's going to go pick up Vasquez tomorrow and that they used to be teammates. I can't remember where.
That's
they just
awesome.
Spent spring training together, whatever. Like, the Astros upgraded at the catcher position, and we'll get into later how you expect to the or how you want Dusty Baker to deploy Christian Vasquez. But Vasquez greater than Corey Lee in 2022, and you can argue with me that Vasquez is greater than Maldonado in 2022. The catcher position has been upgraded for the Houston Astros. The Astros have been throwing out Jake Meyers when it looks like his shoulder's still jacked up. They've been throwing out Chaz McCormick. Michael Brantley's injured. It's something that we'll talk about later in the show as well. But Trey Mancini gives you options in left. He gives you an option in right in case you want to use Kyle Tucker in center. I think that might be a long shot. And he gives you options at first base in case Yuli Gurriel goes back in the tank, which Yuli Gurriel's been on fire for the last month, which is very good and I'm sure makes James Click very, very happy. The trades yesterday, all three of them, especially the first two, Mancini and Vasquez, it makes the Astros' offense better. And then the final trade for Will Smith, it gives you the hope that you add your loogie to the bullpen while also looking ahead at the future and not hamstringing yourself with those salaries.
You bring a great point in terms of how wise beyond a lot of general managers Click is in the fact that he's thinking ahead. So he knows that he can clear the books financially. If he wants to bring Smith back, he can. If he wants to go after a Josh Bell in the offseason, he can because he's clearing up money. And you're right, Verlander is going to get a raise, a substantial raise, and he deserves it based on how he's pitching. But you can afford to pay him that because you still have money that you've stockpiled, some of which you used yesterday, but you got out of the new collective bargaining agreement. And now you're looking at it and saying, if I just know that at the end of the season I can cut this off my salary, my bottom line of salaries to be paid and still have plenty of resources and cash to spend if I need to do that to re-sign my own and or get other guys. It's a fantastic move by a general manager that clearly knows and has a firm grasp on the Astros team instead of what he learned in Tampa Bay. They're not trying to penny pinch. They're not trying to cut corners. They're trying to be as savvy as they can to give them the best chance to win this year without putting themselves in an uncomfortable position, how they keep this team relevant for the next several years and stay at the top of the American League because of the fact that they have the pitching, they have the core in the lineup. But if they would misstep financially, they would run the risk of not being able to add the important key supporting pieces that now they can do.
Brandon, David, we see you there on the HRMP listener line. We'll hit you on the other side. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. It is trade deadline day in baseball. The Astros with three trades yesterday. Do they have more in sight? Are they done? And if so, are you happy with what they've done to this point? The Astros making all of these trades. I bet you that they have a good HR situation over there with the Astros. And I hope that they're using HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. If they're not, they should. Cougar owned by Mike Hawley. Members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. Mike Hawley used to protect Heisman Trophy winners, used to block for them. Now he wants to protect you and your business. You've seen the HR&P signage, U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway with the big U of H flag outside of it as well. Business owners, let HR&P help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. What makes them great? Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HR&P will figure out a way to customize a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meeting service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you also fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to some stranger in a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. Look, if you're an employer, you want to help out your employees. I am one of those guys. I'm an employee that my employer uses HR&P. I can speak to that customer service. I've emailed them all the time about questions that I have because I'm not very smart. They're always very, very quick. They're always very, very helpful. So make sure you're helping out your employees if you're an employer. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to hrp.net to learn more. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are the Astros done? Three moves yesterday. First, Trey Mancini. Hashtag trade for Trey for the last month. I think the killer bees are James Click. We said trade for Trey. We said trade away Jake Odorizzi. And we liked Christian Vasquez as an idea. We are James Click.
And then the idea we brought up to the surface yesterday is one of the three guys that are still potential possibilities for an Astros trade in center field.
Who are you talking about?
Laureano.
So I did a little bit of a deep dive on Laureano.
Yeah, I'm saw not what a fan. You did. I still would like him. I like his tenacity. I'm not I think a fan. He'd be fine.
713-780-ESPN. Are the Astros done? If so, are you happy with it? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. David, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's on your mind, David?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
long
up,
time listener, first time caller. I just want to say, first of all, I'm a Mets fan, but an Astros fan in the American League. And although the Yankees, I think, had a really good trade deadline, I think the Astros have done very well too. Vasquez, I know, is an upgrade offensively at catcher, but I think Maldonado is going to show him the way defensively as well. And Trey Mancini, I was really happy about because I think depth at first base, especially with everything going on in the playoffs, you need depth. The only thing I'd like to see them do is get a center fielder, as you guys were talking about. I don't know if I'm big on Laureano, but if he's the best one available, it is what it is.
Appreciate the call, David.
I think there's three ways of looking at it because you're looking at Michael Taylor at Kansas City. You're looking at Ian Happ with the Cubs, who's not really, in my opinion, a center fielder. I think he's a really stocky outfielder, and he's actually put on muscle and weight, but he could.
He can play there.
He's not a center fielder, but can play. Yeah,
there.
And I think with Laureano, I think he's athletic. He's strong. He's been in a really bad situation in Oakland this year, but you know he was in the Astros system, which means they liked him at some point when they got him in there, and then they used him in a trade. But I think that you could do a lot worse. I think any one of those three guys is an upgrade offensively from what you've been using in center field. It's just how much are you willing to risk the defense and who could give you the best chance of still keeping that middle defense intact. I think the most athletic of the three to do that is Laureano or Taylor. Taylor's a gold glove center fielder, but he doesn't give you as much offensively.
I was surprised with how bad the metrics don't like Laureano's defense. Like they view him as just terrible defensively in center field, which I was surprised.
We've seen him
that.
In some of the Astros games, cover the alleys real well, go into the wall real well and play some balls. So yeah, that surprises me a bit.
Like I believe that Laureano is Laureano's bat plays. Like Laureano's a better hitter than Myers. I think he's a better hitter than even Chaz. The defensive numbers scared me off. I'll be honest, it spooked me off of Laureano. The thing about Michael A. Taylor is that he's great defensively. He brings some speed to a lineup too, which Dusty Baker loves. Now, offensively in his career, he's been terrible. This year, he's having like a career resurgence, though. He's been really good. He's getting on base like 35% of the time, which is great. You're not getting that from center field. Over the course of his career, he's been less than 30, though. So it's like, which guy is he going to be? If you're trading for the 2022 Taylor.
He always seems to play well against the Astros. Maybe I base it more on that because he always seems to step up his game for the Astros. He also likes to fight with the Astros.
You're talking about Laureano.
Yeah.
I was talking about Taylor.
Oh, Taylor.
Yeah, Laureano's got some fire. Like he would add some offensive prowess to this lineup. He's an upgrade offensively. Defensively, it scares me at a premium defensive position. Taylor's like the exact opposite. Taylor's gold glove defender, like you mentioned. This is a weird way to put it. If I'm trading for the 2022 Michael A. Taylor for the rest of the year, sign me up. If I'm trading for who Michael A. Taylor's been for his entire career, I'm out. And that's a very difficult thing. Now, it might be worth the risk because of what you're getting in center field. He does have $4.5 million next year, which isn't a lot.
It's not a lot.
It's pretty much, you know, it's far less than what Otariz is.
And once again, it depends on what you're giving up, right?
I think you can get him cheap.
If you get him cheap and get him for, like, double-A prospects or something like that, and you can make the move relatively easily and painlessly in terms of how it affects, you know, your triple-A and major league roster, then any one of those three guys is worth taking a flyer on because it's better than what you have. Mm-hmm. Because, look, I think Jake Myers is going to be the center fielder of the future if James Click has his way. But he is another one just like Corey Lee. He needs seasoning. He needs work. He looks overmatched right now. He looks like mentally he's just beating himself up. And I think that the best thing for him is to be able to sit back, relax, and say, hey, you're going to be around. Don't worry about that. But we're going to do what we need to do to win for this year. Don't take it personal. Just know what you got to work on and be good with it. If you're good with it, you're going to be around, and that's fine. But I think they can upgrade center field.
Look, I don't want to make excuses for Jake, but it was a difficult situation coming off of the torn labrum. I'm not going to say he rushed back because he did the whole rehab assignment. Mm-hmm. He did the extended spring training. But he doesn't look like the same player last year. And you look at some of the exit velocity stuff, it's not as good as it was last year. So it shows you like he's lost some power, which makes me think that the shoulder's not 100%. And then just his ability to throw the baseball.
He's shown you, too, that he's not 100%. Yep. He dives for a ball and then he rolls over. You know, either arm seems to bother him when he doesn't make plays. He seems gun-shy around the wall and in the alleys when he gets to that warning track, knowing that if he's going to connect with the wall again, he's still thinking about what he's been through. Mm-hmm. It's not that he can't overcome all of that, but that's not what you want to be dealing with a playoff team that's thinking about World Series aspirations.
He looks hesitant for sure. 713-780-ESPN. This, in my opinion, one of the top five sports days in America. So we know that you want to get in. So let's get out to the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Brandon, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Love the show, man. Always love your insight. Always great sports text on there, too. Yeah, great sports day. And I tell you, for the Astros fans out there, I mean, you got to be excited for the work that James Click has done. I mean, Mancini is going to have a lot of pop, and that Crawford box, he's going to love hitting in Houston, no doubt. And I think the catching position, it's Christian Vasquez, huge addition right there. They haven't had an offensive catcher to be able to swing that well, and I mean, in years. We're talking probably since the Biggio days or the Allen Ashby days, as long as I've been watching them. And I think, like I said, back into the bullpen, lefty specialist to get out left-handed hitters in the postseason facing guys like a Benintendi and some of those tough left-handed hitters for the Yankees is going to be a key there too. So I'm okay if they don't do anything else, but I would like to add a center fielder. And I'm kind of like you, the 2022 Michael A. Taylor would be better than the previous career there. But if they don't, I like what James Click has done, and go Astros.
Appreciate the
Thanks,
call,
Brandon.
Chris. Brandon, I'm sorry. He told me, he just told me how much he loved us.
Yeah.
And I called and then you kicked him in the name. Nuts. My bad, my bad. Anyways, the catcher position's upgrade, because you have Big C telling us on Twitch, I really think you are overselling the trades. They were okay at best. This is coming from a football guy. I think that the problem there is whenever you hear the names Josh Bell, you see Juan Soto on the trade market, Shohei Ohtani's been floated around. Not that the Astros have ever had interest. And it's like, give me that guy. But then also you don't understand the cost of trading for that guy.
Yeah, you got to give to get. And we always we hear everybody say, you know what, you got to feel some pain in order to make a move that you get some gain from in terms of who you bring back. And I think all these people are saying, now go, like Eric on that got called in, or like others say, go get Shohei Ohtani. But at what price? If you're giving up Major League Baseball players on your roster that are important to you, as well as whatever you have left in your AAA and your farm system and your highest rated prospects, then what are you capable of winning at the same level that you're winning now? And can you foreseeably do that with the salaries that it's going to take to keep all these guys together, knowing Tucker still hasn't signed his extension and you have work to do on that? I just think it's not worth all that. That's why everybody hears trade deadline and thinks, well, it's not a good trade deadline for a team unless they make a big splash. Well, sometimes you got to be careful going too big too often, because now you've completely depleted what could be your future, and this team's got a very bright future.
Yeah, and like you look at Mancini's numbers, and they aren't sexy. I understand that, but it is an upgrade, and he is doing offensively what would be an upgrade to the Astros at one of the worst hitting ballparks of all of baseball. I heard some people saying, well, the pitchers pitch differently whenever you're pitching to that park. Okay, would you say the same thing at Coors Field, though? Like, it's the Trevor Story thing. Trevor Story mashed at Coors. Why? Because it was one of the best offensive ballparks in all of baseball. The equal and opposite is true for Trey Mancini. I'm not going to say Mancini's going to come in here and be Carlos Beltran when you traded for him in 2004, but Mancini's going to add pop to this lineup and extend it. It might not be your cleanup hitter like the Padres got in Soto, but it makes the Astros far better.
Plus, Jeremy, he's going to see better pitches. Because of how good the rest of the lineup is in Houston as opposed to Baltimore, he's going to see better pitches no matter where Dusty puts him in the lineup. He's not going to be used to seeing the kind of pitches he's going to see, because pitchers are going to see those numbers and they're going to say, I'd rather pitch to Trey Mancini than have to pitch around Yordan, because I got to pitch around Yordan Alvarez and several other guys that are hot in the lineup. Well, if he sees better pitches, chances are he's going to do better, you know, better things with them, and his numbers are going to go up. And because the power numbers that we keep harping on are going to be so much better at Minute Maid Park than they were at Camden Yards, it's a positive. And you're not relying on him like the Orioles did. You're just adding him as a piece. The Orioles were looking at him as a centerpiece, one of their biggest and best named players.
Brandon texted in, forgot to mention on my call, I think Will Smith is underrated, as he used to be a closer and knows how to deal in high leverage situations, which is huge for the playoffs. Look, Will Smith's been terrible this year, but I think that you have some reward in Will Smith that if he gets back to anywhere a shell of what he was last year, now he's that lefty specialist. And if he's not, okay, well, you move on from him too. And you traded what was a negative value because of that looming year in Odorizzi's contract next year that he had the player option over. 713-780-ESPN, one of the best sports days of the year. Best sports days on the calendar. Austin Graham, we see you there. We'll get to you. 713-780-3776. Are the Astros done? Are you happy with it? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros made three trades yesterday. They added salary, they didn't give up much on the farm, and they made the 2022 Astros better. You upgraded with a bat in Mancini, whether he plays either corner outfield spot, first base maybe a little bit too. Of course, you can DH him. And then Christian Vasquez, who is an upgrade offensively over anything you had at the catcher position. And then you get rid of Jake Odorizzi, the cherry on top, whose contract, $7.8 million, could have been picked up by Jake Odorizzi. So you just go ahead and wash your hands of that. Let him, you know, wish him best in his future endeavors in Atlanta. 713-780-ESPN.
Not Fair on Twitter reminds us that in 2 weeks, it's Astros and Braves. You think you see Odorizzi?
Maybe.
That would be interesting.
I guess it depends on how the schedule falls.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I would love to see it, to be honest.
I would, too.
It'd be entertainment, right?
And you could play the song again, Brandon, but we wouldn't play it because we want him to suck.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Graham, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Graham.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Can I just say how lucky are we to have the owner that we have? But, you know, I loved what Click did yesterday. Honestly, if I could suggest anything to, you know, to improve this team from now, I would suggest Whit Merrifield. I want to know what you guys think about that.
Appreciate the call, Graham.
Where do you play him?
I think you'd play him in center.
You see, he's never been a center field.
He's played some center.
He's played like eight games there.
Last year he played some center field.
Well, I know someone from a different station who was all hot on him being a center fielder and realized that he really isn't a center fielder, hadn't played it much. But, he's a good hitter. I don't know.
He's been bad.
Yeah, this year he has not been what he's been in the past. But the last several years, he's stacked really good years together on a bad team, right? And so I don't know if he's seeing different pitches or they're just pitching around him now, too, if that's part of it. My bigger question just is, where are you going to play him?
I remember studying him a little bit whenever I was putting together the target list for the show. He's played some center field. He's played 76 games. 76 games in center field over what has been a seven-year career. So not a lot. That's less than half a season. And I remember, if memory serves, that the metrics in center field weren't good. Because I'm not looking at him to play second base, obviously. If you're bringing him in, you're bringing him to play center field. See, Whit Merrifield's kind of the reverse of Michael A. Taylor. Like, if Michael A. Taylor produces the rest of the way what he has done currently in 2022, great, that's an upgrade, you do that right now. But if he's who he's been his entire career, I'm out, I do not want that. Whit Merrifield's the other way. Whit Merrifield's been really bad this year offensively. A 290 on base percentage, that's awful. 240 average, right? So, but he's been good previous to this year. And he's also making a decent amount of money next season. So I don't think that the Astros would go that route with Whit Merrifield. You're looking at a below-average center fielder, hasn't done it a whole lot. He's on the books for, you know, $7 million next year. He's not been good, and he's old. I mean, he's in his mid-30s. So I don't see him as a realistic option.
Yeah, to me either. And look, I think that if you hadn't made the Mancini move, now maybe that would be something that you would consider. But, yeah, I just don't know where he's a fit, and I don't think that he's – look, Reynolds from Pittsburgh is another guy that you could consider if Pittsburgh's really doing what they normally do and just selling out and starting over yet again. And he could be a guy that we didn't mention yet that could be someone that could be here for the run this season and also be in your future. But, you know, look, Brendan and I were talking about it in the break, too. Mullins hits a home run last night. It's like, you know, the Orioles are going to be basically calling everybody that's called them in the past going, hey – he's warming up. He's going to be more like he's starting to be the hitter he was a year ago, but he's a true center fielder. If you want him, we got him, because they're looking for prospects too. So I
disagree with that on what Mike Elias is doing in Baltimore. I don't think that they would send Cedric Mullins for two reasons. I don't think his name's been out there in trade rumors and reports, is that he's still under club control for a while. He plays center field like Trey Mancini, good offensive player. The Orioles have a surplus of corner outfielders, infielders, DH types. They don't have other center fielders in the system. The reason that Elias wanted to trade Mancini, he's in the final year of his deal, so he wanted to get something before he leaves for free. He's a little older. And Cedric Mullins still has club control. And then the other part of that, too, like, let's remember Mike Elias is the right hand of Jeff Luhnow during the golden era of the Houston Astros that built this organization to what we're experiencing now. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to trade his center fielder whenever his stock is low. Like, he hasn't had a very good offensive season. He was great in the offseason. Elias strikes me as a guy, I'm going to trade a player when their stock is very high. And right now, that's not the case for Cedric Mullins. I don't think he's going to be traded.
I think that what I would add to that, if he isn't traded, it's because Elias also is feeling pressure. Because they were like, Oriole fans were finally having something to be excited about. They finally had a team that's on the cusp of a wild card. And he said himself, which was tough for fans to hear if you're a Baltimore Oriole fan. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're close. I just don't see at the end of the year us getting in and doing something and being able to get to that next series. So I've got to do what I've got to do. I don't think any Oriole fan liked hearing that because they haven't been close in a while. But the one guy that they're still going to hang on to that's been there and been kind of a mainstay for them has been Mullins. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to – he knows the heat's going to be turned on him if he goes and trades Mullins too. Because now it's like, well, how long are you willing to wait in order for the full rebuild to happen to get all this talent that you keep trying to acquire?
I like what Elias is doing. I have my eyes on Baltimore to see what they become. I'm rooting for Elias. I liked him. I spent some time with him once. 713-780-ESPN. Talking baseball.
Over ice cream?
Talking baseball. In the press box, waiting out a rain delay while he was scouting Ian Happ. He hung out with me in the press box.
So we have insight on a potential Astros trade.
I do, a little bit, yeah. Right. What do you want to know about his time at Cincinnati? No, as a collegiate baseball player, because I can tell you all about it.
No, I'm just interested on, since he's thickened up a little bit, his ability to play center field effectively.
Look, I think he's probably a slightly below average defensive center fielder. Like, we have some people texting in about the Astros' need for center field. Because let's say the Astros make one more move. I think that they will.
I do, too.
What do you wish it is? Because for me, it's a center fielder. I just don't know the center fielder that's out there that really makes me excited.
So, because the Yankees have made a couple moves, because that the time is ticking, and because of all, the question marks around Smith, the biggest positive is a lefty with playoff experience. I still would love to see them look at relievers because they haven't given hardly anything up. And there's guys out there that are inexpensive that have playoff experience, like David Robertson of the Cubs, like a Chafin, but you don't really need Chafin as much if you think Smith can be your lefty. But I think that if you could, I'd still like them to add one more arm to the bullpen, a veteran arm, and I'd like them to at least kick the tires on what's out there at center field. But if I got to go one way or the other, I'll live with the bullpen that they have if you can give me a better center fielder option, because I've given up hope this year on Jake Meyers, and I don't feel comfortable now that Siri's gone with the only other alternative in center field being either Tucker, who's not a center fielder, or Chaz McCormick, who just to me is a liability in a lot of ways.
See, if you trade for like a Taylor or one of the other guys or Laureano, that's not a splash, right? But right. it gives Dusty options. You can go hot hand, so when a guy gets hot, he'll sit him the next day. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there. Austin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Austin?
Hey, guys. Big fan of y'all. I just have a few quick points I want to make. One, I think Taylor, as of right now, is just really the best option due to the fact that they're just not going to want a lot for him, as well as he has another year of club control. I think Reynolds would be my prefer, even though he's not having a down year. I think I would prefer him, but the problem is that I think Pittsburgh's just going to still want a lot, and that's why I would prefer not to go after Reynolds and just go after Taylor. Also, I would do a deal that I think Joel would like, would be including Taylor and Scott Barlow in a trade and do a package around Abreu with other minor league pieces to package along with that and try to get Barlow and Taylor. I think Barlow,
did you say trade?
Been a good reliever, even though we kind of messed with him earlier this year. He's been a good reliever. Yeah. I mean, he's been their, their top closer. And so I think that would be something to kind of look into. And also, I just want to make a point that y'all said earlier in the show about how we just can't go on the big main pieces only, and you can't just get the splash every single time when it comes to MLB trade deadline. A good example would be the Braves last year. Rosario, Soler, Jock Peterson, those weren't giant names. They're definitely names, but they're not giant names, right? And that helped them win the championship. So that's something I would say is definitely, I was fine. I was happy with Mancini, Smith, and Vasquez yesterday. I would love to see, like I said, center fielder, or like what Joel said, it would just be a reliever. Chafin would be nice. I think they're not going to go Chafin. So, if we can get Scott Barlow, he has also years of close control. That'd be great.
Austin said trade Brian Abreu. I might need a day off. I don't think I can handle that.
I'd be honest with you. Every goodwill that I had for James Click would be completely gone.
There's a lot. You and I were talking about this the other day, though. There's a lot of teams that are starting to get, trying to get back on the upswing that would love Brian Abreu.
No, I think he has trade value.
They see that arm, but you know what? It's just like trading a prospect for a proven Major League Baseball player. There's still so much that's hanging in the balance to see if they're going to get it. He has $1 million arm, maybe a $10 million arm. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that if you can't figure out what's going on between his ears and he can't, keep his wits about him when he gets into high leverage situations, it doesn't matter how good your arm is.
You can
throw fastballs by a lot of guys, but when you get to good teams in big situations, it's a risk.
He made John Carlos Stanton look silly. Now,
how's Josh James work?
He's been pretty good with runners on base. Now, he's not been in high leverage situations except for like that one save, and I think it was, I can't remember the team it was. Was it Seattle? I think it might have been Seattle.
I think it was one of the last games in Seattle.
Yeah, but anyways, besides the point, to Austin's a couple of names that he mentioned, like Taylor's club control next year for Kansas City, I actually think that's a negative on Michael A. Taylor because it carries, look, it's not substantial, $4.5 million, whatever, but you're probably not looking at him to be your center fielder next year. So do you want to pay $4.5 million for a backup outfielder when you have still, and we'll, maybe not after today, you still have Chaz, you still have Jake Myers, who are league minimum backup type guys. Maybe one of them is your center fielder. I loved what he said with the addition of a Barlow, though. Barlow is my second favorite reliever on the market, just behind David Bednar from Pittsburgh. So if you were to make a trade where you're getting Barlow, who is that arm, to me, he kind of reminds me, not same arsenal, but same cachet as Ryan Pressly when you traded for him. Mm-hmm. Not many people knew
people
about
didn't know
him.
Who he was
in Minnesota. Like, eh. Right, yeah. But he's really quality. Right. Same thing with Scott Barlow. So I love the idea of a Michael A. Taylor-Barlow combination. That would be a home run, in my opinion. It's not sexy, right? It's not sexy at all, but that would be a home run for me. The Brian Reynolds thing, I have some reservations about Brian Reynolds. I'll tell you why on the other side. Also, how do you deploy these guys? You got Mancini in the fold. You got Christian Vasquez in the fold. You got Will Smith in the fold. How would you deploy them? And a Dusty hint at some brilliant outside-the-box ideas yesterday during the broadcast of the Astros-Red Sox on the four-letter network. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.